A reading from Matthew 21. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there, with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them."
This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt.
The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered.
So if we think of that anthem, and we think of that praise, and we think of all the words that we just heard from the two selections of scriptures, we can see that Jesus was a planner. Jesus knew exactly what he needed to happen. He thought it out. He planned everything. And then he said to his people, "Go do this. You'll find this at this place. And when you find it, say to this man that the Lord needs it. And if they say something else, then don't worry. It's going to happen this way. He'll let you take it." So he was a planner. He thought he knew exactly what needed to be done, what had to happen ahead of time. He made arrangements even down to the donkey and its colt. Perhaps Jesus knew Scripture. You know, that might have been the case. He might have read Zechariah 9:9 because he went to the temple when he was a little boy. He was 12 years old. He was asking all kinds of questions. He probably read his daily one-year Bible. And again, but remember too that Jesus, as he dealt with his disciples and as they really got going as people of you know, the disciples of Jesus, and he was their rabbi, he started saying to them, "I am going to suffer, I am going to die, I am going to be raised." And they said, "What's this raising from the dead? What does that mean?" Well, have you ever had deja vu? Have you ever been someplace that you felt, "I've been here before, I've done this before"? Have you ever had a circumstance where you are in a place and you feel like, "Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do"? Have you? I have. And sometimes these moments make you feel that you know, there's something there's no coincidence, I guess you could say. If you go back, you can go back to a particular day, a particular event. I know in our family we talk about that sometimes. And or things that you see. I had a friend that wanted to know if she was going to marry a guy, and all of a sudden she saw a falling star and she said, "That means yes." So I'm not saying that Jesus was having a deja vu moment. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that that is probably what we can identify as perhaps what happened here, that he knew what was happening. And that's the closest experience we might have that helps us understand what was going on that Palm Sunday. He was not orchestrating it. It was an ordained event. He wasn't making it happen. Matthew says his actions actually fulfilled that passage of Scripture in Zechariah that had been written 500 years before. So God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. The wonderful thing about God is that God likes to give these little hints. God likes to, like, reveal, you know, it's almost like he's so excited. It's like a kid before Christmas, and he's revealing, he's giving us hints. He can't keep quiet. He's just compelled to tell us, and that's why the Bible is one large connected story. So when you read the New Testament, if you don't have the Old Testament with it and get the big picture, you're missing a good part of the story. And these prophecies are hints of things to come. So that was a hint of what was going to come. And Jesus said, those who are given eyes to see, or have eyes to see, ears to hear, let them listen and understand. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. But there's some people that don't and miss the blessing. Because that's a big encouragement if he says, okay, you may not quite understand, but if you're listening, if you're seeking, then it's going to be revealed to you. But if your heart's not in the right place, if you don't have a shred of faith or willingness to not ignore it, if you just want to go on your way or don't believe, the reverse is true. You won't see it. Isaiah writes, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them, because they were unwilling. They wouldn't give God the time of day. And so that just kind of happened. So God gave this prophecy, and now this day, that day 2,000 years ago, 500 years after the prophecy, Jesus operates according to those words. Go get a colt. Ride on it. It's humble. You're humble, but ride that donkey because you are still king. And so people are shouting and singing Hosanna, and that means save, O King. They recognized it, and they shouted that, save, O King. So think about who was in that crowd that day. Perhaps in that crowd was a leper that Jesus healed. Remember, he healed 10 lepers, but one went back and said, thank you. Perhaps that guy was there that day. And then maybe Peter's mother-in-law, the disciples were going to Peter's house for lunch after church, and she got a fever. And so she couldn't cook, and he went in, and he took away her fever, and she got up and cooked supper. Or maybe there was Nicodemus there who came to Jesus at night wanting to know, what's this faith thing all about? And Jesus helped him understand how to be saved. Or maybe it was a paralyzed man who his friends let him down through the roof of the house where Jesus was preaching, and Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. Or maybe it was a woman at the well who had had 5 husbands and was living with the 6th guy. And maybe she was there. And probably the rich man was there who had asked Jesus, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, give away all your money and come follow me. And remember, he was crestfallen. But maybe he thought better later and said, I'm going to do it. And so perhaps he was there too. Or maybe the woman caught in adultery. Jesus had saved her life because she was going to be stoned by the Pharisees. And he intervened. And he forgave her and sent her forward in faith. And maybe it was a poor blind beggar whose eyes he healed. And he was impoverished because of his blindness and laying beside the road. But what did he want? He didn't say, save me from my poverty. He said, I want to see. So perhaps he was there too. And then Zacchaeus, the corrupt tax collector, who gave half of his assets to the people he had cheated. And he was there praising Jesus. He saw the 70 missionaries he had sent out. And he said, don't take any money, just stay with the people who receive you. And there they were praising God. And there was Mary Magdalene, who had all kinds of mental issues there in that crowd. She was there. And the women who supported his ministry, did you know that there was a group of wealthy women who actually paid the bills for Jesus and his disciples for his ministry? He saw his mother and brothers all cheering. Now, what if he came today? What if our generation was there? Would you be there along that road? Who would Jesus see? Imagine him riding as God's perfect son, riding on that colt, fulfilling the scripture of God's ancient prophecy. Jesus, the beloved, the one the Father had his eyes on, he was intent on God's purposes. Jesus' ride is a war march, really. It was a war march. Christus victor, confronting Satan. Satan, the enemy who had captured God's children. From the very beginning, he's an enemy too strong for us. And that's how Scripture defines him. However, he is no match for Christus victor. This enemy holds us captive through greed, through violence, through injustice, through poverty, through inequity, through disease, through spiritual short-sightedness, through clouded faith. We are held. We are troubled. Should it be 2021 and we be standing on that road, we would be just as broken as all of those people at that time, all those people who Jesus touched their lives. We would be the same. Yet still, we're God's good, very good creation that God loves. So when God looks at us, he looks at us through that lens of love, as does Jesus. And there God has his fabulous son who sees his vision, who purposes his life to do that vision, who loves us so well that he's not going to falter. He's going to invest in us. He's saving us. He's all for the sake of his Father's love and his own love. So that's amazing hope. Can you see why they were singing Hosanna so loudly? That's amazing hope. Why we should be cheering Hosanna. What a good day this was. A wonderful day. The praises go up. Our praises need to go up. Why should we hold back? Why? Should we live in our troubles? Get stuck in them? Or should we live through our troubles with his help and see incredible hope? God is watching his son, whom he loves, fight, rescue, and save the children that he loves, the children that he created. Jesus is going forward that day into battle. This is no weak, humble ride or display of weakness at all. This is a power ride. Although there's no crown on his head, there's no royal robe on his shoulders, there is no white stallion at this point. He fights not with a sword of steel, but with the sword of the Word of God. You know, in Revelation, it has this kind of weird scripture of a sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. That's a picture to show us it's a word of God. It's a word of God that he's fighting with. That's his sword. So he rides on with an intention, forward into battle, his clothes, his steed humble. He marches because God's divine work has not stopped from the day it started, from the day that we fell, from the very beginning. From that day, God began his work of redemption, began working for us. It's never stopped, not for a minute. God continues until Jesus triumphs over evil and reconciles the world to God. Are there things that you want to do in life? Things that you feel passionate about? That's all a part of God's plan. Because you feel passionate about them, you want to be good at them, you want to make a contribution. Thing is, we need to do like Jesus, make the contribution toward the goodness of God. Aren't you glad Jesus did that? That's how he shaped his life as a man? He would advise you that it's worth striving for. He would advise you to take what you love and what you do and point it toward his kingdom. And do it with all your heart, because God is for you. God is empowering you. God wants a community, a city, to have success for all people. And so Jesus understands commitment. He understands determination. He understands having passion for something and accomplishing something good for other people. He understands that, and that gives great satisfaction. One thing he said in Isaiah, or was predicted about him, is he would go through all of that trouble, all of that pain, all of that disappointment, all of that being abandoned by the people he loved. To do this for us, it was greatly satisfying. And he would look back at the trouble and the struggle and say, that was satisfying. That was satisfying. So God works relentlessly from creation to now to defeat the devil and give us a pathway to be healed every day. Every day and in every way. And not just be healed physically, but be healed in all of the ways we need healing and flourishing together. That's what Paul said. God was reconciling in Christ the world to himself. He actually said it the other way around. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He takes initiative. God takes initiative to overcome death. This is what it is, overcoming death. And so we know God is not done. How do we know? We were given another vision. The other vision which you heard, Revelation 19, that's another vision. Guess what? Jesus didn't know that vision. It wouldn't be written till 70 years after he died and was resurrected. It's just cast before us. Now, why do you think God would do that? Why didn't he give that to Jesus? Right? It's about him. Why are we given it? Well, we've seen one vision fulfilled. Are we going to see with our eyes and hear with our ears so we can interpret this other vision? So we saw one happen. Are we going to say, well, I think this next one's going to happen too? So this day he rode into battle, but that day he will ride into victory. He will ride into his reign over all the earth. He will ride on that white stallion and will have multiple crowns, because kings back at that time wore multiple crowns if they ruled over more than one country. So he will have multiple crowns because he will rule over many nations. And then we'll see that white horse and its rider. He will have a robe then, soaked with blood. Now again, probably not a rug. It's probably a red robe. Probably a red, again, a metaphor for what he did and how he gained that robe. He's addressed as the Word of God. He's the one who is finishing the work. The Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is? The Lord our God is?
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises be to the King of Kings. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer in a few minutes now. You listen when you say it, because it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Revelation 19 is kind of heaven and earth coming together, okay? It's heaven coming to earth all together through Christus Victor. It's a massive choir in heaven. Now, when I think of that, I don't think that it's only angels. I think it's everybody that has gone on. I really do. It's a massive choir all singing, right? Here's why I think that. First of all, it says the 12 elders are going to be there. Well, if they're there, they died, right? They lived years ago. And they're there alive singing for cherubim. So why not everybody else? That's what I think. Is there singing a mass choir in heaven, then the 24 elders and four cherubim, then a mass choir on earth. And so the combination of all that praise is louder than Niagara Falls. So we're now in 2021, and as we come out of the coronavirus, as we put back the pieces of lost jobs, lost family members and friends, snowstorms, division, disappointment, all of those things, can we lift our eyes enough to move forward, to see the Lord, to know that we have confidence that God is at work? Can we? Can we? What plans have been foiled in the last year? What disappointments and setbacks are overcoming you? Can you take those, realizing that God is a planner? Pray. Ask God to let you see, because God's plan will win. We have the testimony. Do you hear the hallelujahs? The Lord our God is wonderful. What he is doing, he's doing for you. Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you for making us a part of that choir. Thank you so much that if we have the eyes to see, we can see our loved ones. We can see you. We can see your work and be inspired and spurred on to be part of your plan. To be part of your plan for our community, for our city, for people that are hurting, because there are people all over this city that need you. People who are blind, people who are impoverished, people who have no one to love, people who are pursuing the wrong things, thinking that wealth and success and other things will bring them joy. When it's in you, it's found in you. So I pray that you strengthen us this morning, that you bless us, that you give us a sense of belonging to you, of safety in your care, that you would oversee the needs of the body in this church. I pray for families right now, for the Fithian family, for others. And we thank you for your son's march. We thank you for your son's battle. So strengthen us today, here now, as we pray his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.